Who can care for patients when, where, and how? That question's been the focus of more than 450 bills and 200 executive orders introduced in state capitals since COVID hit. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Senior producer Leslie Walker joins me to talk about how all this legislation is inflaming tensions between healthcare workers. Leslie, first explain, how did COVID jumpstart all this action in the first place?
Sure, Dan. Basically, the pandemic shined this big light on the gaping holes in America's health workforce. Now, state lawmakers are considering all kinds of measures to close those gaps. One common proposal is to let existing workers do more, practice with less supervision, see more patients, that kind of thing.
And this makes sense. Some data I saw said we could be short 500,000 nurses and like 140,000 docs by the end of the decade. And lots of these bills are aimed at helping workers share the load, but many of them aren't passing. What's up?
Well, Dan, think of it like a competition, and patients are the prize here. So if a law frees up one profession, like nurses, to provide more care to more patients, that's fewer people who need to see, let's say, a doctor.
So in other words, Leslie, as lawmakers look for solutions, these professional groups are basically competing for the business, all saying we can care for the patients better, faster, maybe even cheaper.
That's right. And states are the ones here, Dan, that set most of these rules. So that's making for some pretty tense moments in state capitals like Denver. Lawmakers there ultimately killed a bill that would have let physician assistants, also known as PAs, practice with less supervision from doctors.
That's not fair at all. To diminish what a PA does and the talents that a PA has.
But unfortunately, I don't think that there are enough safeguards to ensure that some of the unintended consequences don't happen.
That argument does not hold water.
Colorado doctor groups donated more than $100,000 to the lawmakers that helped sink that bill. And nationwide, Dan, the American Medical Association takes credit for working in another 24 states to stop PAs, nurses, and others from getting more authority.
I see what you mean by these turf wars. Okay, so what about the patients, Leslie? For measures that have managed to pass, how much impact are they having?
It's too soon to say, but very early data suggests their impact might be limited. An emergency order in Massachusetts let some nurses work more independently, but in a survey of those nurses, 75% said the waiver had had no impact on their day-to-day work.
So it's possible that despite this mountain of measures, we might end up with a molehill?
Well, not to mix metaphors on you here, Dan, but I asked University of Washington researcher Bianca Frogner, you know, lawmakers sure are taking a lot of swings here. Have they hit anything out of the park?
It feels like a bunt. We need some more planning that might be happening at a national level.
Her point, Dan, having 50 different states come up with 50 different solutions to this problem isn't the answer. The federal government, in her view, is much better suited to figure out how to get healthcare workers doing the right stuff in the right places. But she told me it might take another pandemic-like scare for that to actually happen.
Trade-Offs senior producer Leslie Walker, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dan.
To hear more about how that heated fight in the Colorado Statehouse played out, find the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.